بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Alhamdulillah that we are able to return after brief pause in our lessons, due to the day of Eid, Eid al-Fitr. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every one of you to have a fruitful, enjoyable, and beneficial day of Eid. And I also hope and pray that we have taken advantage of the week that we had between the last session and this session, the extra week, 2 weeks, to review all of the materials that we have covered up until now. The homework assignments that we had from 2 weeks ago, last week we pretty much just had assignments of reviewing those assignments. So pretty much we had 2 weeks to do the work that normally we would do in 1 week. The only extra thing that we had was to preview the new lesson, the English key and vocabulary for lesson number 5, which we hope to introduce today at the end of this session. Okay, let's get started immediately without any delay. Today, inshallah, we hope to complete lesson number 4. Today, inshallah, we hope to complete lesson number 4, the second half. So for homework, what we should have done during these past 2 weeks, we should have previewed the second half of lesson number 4, the English key on page 10, and the vocabulary for the second half, which follows on page 11. We should also have read and written out and translated the Arabic text for the second half on page 24, and then the comprehension exercise that follows on page 25 and the remaining exercises on page 25 and 26, meaning all the exercises for the second half, exercise 1, 2, 3, and 4, and the vocabulary at the end of the lesson, the Arabic vocabulary on page 26. So for homework during the past 2 weeks, alhamdulillah, we have plenty of time to look at the English key, the vocabulary, the Arabic text, and all the exercises for the second half of lesson 4. And hopefully also we took a look at the English key for the new lesson number 5, which we'll be taking once we complete this lesson. Today we're going to start with the English key for the second half of lesson 4 on page 10. The English key for the second half of lesson 4 on page 10. So if everybody can turn to page 10 of the English key, we're going to look at the English key and we're going to look at the vocabulary on the following page 11. And in order to comprehend the points for this second half of lesson 4, it would make sense for us to go back and just quickly look at the English key for the first half of lesson 4, because the first half of lesson 4 deals with two main points, prepositions and pronouns. And this second half also deals with two main points, prepositions and pronouns. So, if you look at page 10, lesson 4, the English key for lesson 4A, the second half of lesson 4 on page 10, you see at the top of the page it says, in this part we learn two more prepositions. Min, meaning from, and min, meaning from, and ila, meaning to. Okay, so this is the first point. There are actually four matters that we want to look at in this second half of the lesson. There are four matters that we want to look at, but the main two are prepositions and pronouns. And since we covered them in the first half of this lesson, I want to just go back and review quickly some of the points that were mentioned related to prepositions. In this part of the lesson, second half, we're going to deal with two new prepositions, min, meaning from, and ila, meaning to. In the first half, we had fi, meaning in, and ala, meaning on or upon. Okay, before we go to the next point, yani two more pronouns, ana wa anta, I just want to review prepositions. Okay, so what you should know about prepositions is, number one, this is what you should know about prepositions, and hopefully by now, since we had 2 weeks to review this, you should know it well. You should be able to explain it. You should be able to teach it clearly. Okay, so what do we know about prepositions? We know that Arabic nouns have endings to show their functions in the sentence. And I'm just going to quickly review the points from the English key for the first half of lesson 4 on page 7. And on page 7 and 8. I'm going to quickly review it. So what do we know about prepositions? Arabic nouns, all Arabic nouns have endings to show their functions in the sentence. Yani to show, is it the subject, the predicate, the doer of the action, the object of a preposition, the object of a verb? The function in the sentence is indicated by the vowel at the end of the noun. The normal ending for nouns in Arabic is U or Dhamma. In the example they gave us, Al-Baytu, Jadidun. Both of these words end with Dhamma. Al-Baytu has a single Dhamma, Jadidun has a double Dhamma, Tanween. What we are concerned about is the vowel. Whether it's single or double, it's not so important in reference to, yani, the function in the sentence. If it has Dhamma, whether it's a single Dhamma or a double Dhamma, this indicates that this word is in the nominative case. In Arabic, it's called marfu'un. Okay, so nouns in Arabic have a vowel ending, dhamma, fatha, or kasra, which indicates its function in the sentence. The normal ending, the original ending for nouns in Arabic is going to be dhamma, a single dhamma or a double dhamma. As in, al-baytu, single dhamma, jadidun, double dhamma. The house is new. A noun with this normal ending, this dhamma ending, is said to be in the nominative case. In Arabic, it's called marfu'un. In Arabic, it's called marfu'un. After a preposition, though, this ending changes to I or kasra. As in al-baytu, it became fi al-bayti. Yani, al-baytu with a single dhamma, after a preposition, it became fil bayti with a single kasra. Likewise, baytun with a double dhamma after a preposition becomes fi baytin. So the double dhamma becomes a double kasra. Single dhamma becomes a single kasra. What is the point? That nouns in Arabic, their original ending, which indicates their function, is dhamma, single or double dhamma. This indicates that it's in the nominative case, or in Arabic, marfu'un. When a noun is preceded by a preposition, it changes from the nominative case being marfu'un to the genitive case being majrur. So after a preposition, it changed from dhamma to kasra. When a noun is preceded by a preposition, it is said to be in the genitive case. In Arabic, we say this is majrur. Okay, I want to stop here, and I want to say that for those who are taking this course for the first time, you must know the terminology in Arabic for the i'rab, yani the grammatical explanation of words in a sentence. Okay, so there are three case endings for nouns. There's marfu'un, nominative case, that's the original ending indicated by dhamma, and then there's majrurun, the genitive case indicated by kasra, and that's what we're looking at in this lesson. And there's also mansubun, yani the accusative case, which we'll see later on. For now, what you need to know, you need to know the nominative case and the genitive case. When a word is marfu'un, it has dhamma. When it is majrurun, it has kasra. These are the primary signs of, yani, a word being marfu'un or majrurun. Okay, so this is what we had in the first half of this lesson. The same rules are going to apply with these two prepositions that we're taking now, min and ila. The same rules. Yani, a word following min is just like a word following fi or ala. A word following ila is the same as what we had in the first half of the lesson. Words following fi or ala, they change from being marfu'un to majrurun. From taking dhamma to taking kasra. So this is the same thing that we're going to see in the second half of this lesson. This is the first point that we're going to cover in the second half of the lesson. Prepositions. When a word follows a preposition, it changes from being marfu'un, it becomes majrur. It changes from having dhamma to taking kasra. Okay, let's go back again now to page 10. The next point. We also learn in this second half of lesson 4, two more pronouns. Ana, meaning I, and anta, meaning you. Ana and anta. Previously we had huwa and hiya. Previously we had huwa, he or he is. And it also, if it's referring to an animal or an inanimate thing, it means it or it is. And hiya means she or she is. And if it's referring to an inanimate thing or an animal, then it will be translated as it or it is. Okay, so previously we had huwa and hiya. Now we have ana, I or I am, and anta, you or you are. Ana, I, is for both masculine and feminine. Now previously we had huwa and hiya. Huwa, we said, is a pronoun, and a pronoun takes the place of a noun. So all Arabic nouns are either masculine or feminine. So when you refer back to it, you're going to refer back to it with the pronoun huwa if it's classified as masculine, and hiya if it's classified as feminine. That's what we said previously for the two pronouns that we had in the first part of this lesson, huwa and hiya. We said that all Arabic nouns are classified as either masculine or feminine. So when you refer to them as a pronoun, you have to use the appropriate pronoun, masculine or feminine pronoun. If we're using third person pronouns, it's going to be huwa and hiya. Both of these pronouns can be used for human beings, and they can be used for other than human beings. So if something is classified as masculine, we're going to refer to it as huwa. If it's classified as feminine, we're going to refer to it as hiya. Now we're saying two new pronouns, ana and anta. As for ana, it is used both for masculine and feminine. Yani if the speaker is a male or female, doesn't matter, they both will use this pronoun. For the first person singular, pronoun is ana. It means I or I am. It's used both for masculine and feminine. For example, they said, ana Muhammadun. Ana Muhammadun. I am Muhammad. So ana here is referring to Muhammad, who is a male. The next line says, ana Aminatu. I am Amina. And here ana is referring to a female. So ana is used both for masculine and feminine people. The male may use it, and the female may use it equally. Generally, the pronouns in Arabic are going to be classified into masculine or feminine. But the first person pronoun, ana, the singular first person pronoun, ana, is used both for masculine and feminine. And when we see the first person plural pronoun, nahnu, the same rule is applicable. Nahnu, we, or we are, will be used both for masculine and feminine. All other pronouns are going to be they're going to have a masculine form and a feminine form. Like we have for the third person singular, huwa, for masculine, and hiya for feminine. So likewise, we're going to see the same thing for second person pronouns and for plural pronouns, except for the first person singular ana and first person plural nahnu. They are each used both for masculine and feminine. Okay, let's go on. Second pronoun that we have in this half of the lesson is the second person masculine singular. Yani when you're talking directly to somebody, it's a male, and they're one individual, masculine, singular. Second person, masculine, singular. Anta, you, is only for masculine, singular. You learn the feminine and plural forms later on. So there's masculine, second person, masculine, singular, anta, and there's also second person, feminine, singular, which we'll learn later on, anti. And there are also plural forms for second person, masculine, and plural forms for second person feminine that we'll learn later on. So again, the second person pronouns and the third person pronouns, singular and plural, are going to be divided into masculine and feminine. So this is the second pronoun we have in this half of the lesson, enta, which means you, and it's only used for the masculine singular. Later on we will learn the second person feminine singular, enti. Okay, so this is the second point of this lesson. Yani, the pronouns ana and anta. We already had hu and hiya. Now we have four pronouns. Huwa, hiya, ana, and anta. All of these are singular pronouns. Second person, third person, or first person, but they're all singular. Later on, we will learn the feminine forms, and we'll also learn the plural forms. Okay, the third point of the second half of this lesson is something that we didn't have in the first half. In the first half, we had prepositions, and we also had pronouns. And by the way, before I read the next point, I want to just remind us that in the first half of the lesson, we had three other important matters that I want to just refresh your memory, even though hopefully you already reviewed it on your own for homework. But remember that most feminine nouns end with the round ta, yani the ta marbuta. But there are some which do not have any ending which indicates their femininity. Yani most feminine nouns end with ta marbuta, like aminatu, or as-sa'atu, and so on, as-shajaratu. These are feminine nouns, and they usually end with ta marbuta to indicate that they are feminine. But there are some feminine nouns that do not have an ending that shows you, that indicates, that reminds you that it's feminine. These words just have to be memorized. Next point. We have also learned previously, this is from the first half English key on page 8. We have also learned that the tanween is the indefinite article, right? In lesson 3, we had the definite article alif lam, and we said that when a word is definite, it usually has alif lam, and if it's indefinite, it usually has tanween. However, this rule does not apply to proper masculine proper nouns. And therefore, hamidun, even though it has tanween, we translate it as hamid, not a hamid. Even though it has tanween, we don't translate it the tanween as an indefinite article, okay? Because masculine proper nouns are, all proper nouns are definite, okay? But masculine proper nouns take tanween. It does not indicate that they are indefinite. All proper nouns are definite. So when you see the tanween on the masculine proper noun, don't imagine that this means that the word is indefinite. Usually tanween indicates that a noun is indefinite. Not so with masculine proper nouns, the names of men. The last point is feminine proper nouns, contrary to masculine proper nouns, do not take tanween. And that's why you have Fatimatu with a single vowel, Zainabu with a single vowel, and Aminatu with a single vowel. Feminine proper nouns, the names of females, do not take tanween. Okay, so you want to contrast the masculine proper nouns with the feminine proper nouns. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. That's the general rule. There are some exceptions to that. And feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Okay, so that was, yani, just a couple of notes from the first half of lesson 4 that I wanted to remind you of before we go on to the next point. Okay, back to second half, English key for lesson 4, page 10. Okay, the first two points were the new prepositions, min wa ila. The second point was the two new pronouns, anta wa ana. And now we're going to a third point. We also learn here two verbs. Dhahaba, which means he went. And kharaja, which means he went out. Please pay attention, yani, to the manner in which these words have been translated. Okay, dhahaba means he went. And kharaja means he went out. So there's a difference between saying dhahaba and saying kharaja. Dhahaba means he went away from this spot. He went from here to somewhere else. But kharaja means he went out of the place. Person is in a building, in a room, in a tent. If the person goes out of that tent, then you say kharaja. He went out. Alright? But if a person didn't go out of the tent, didn't go out of the room, didn't go out of the building, but they just went from this area, from the left side of the room to the right side of the room, from the front of the room to the back of the room. You don't say he went out. You say he went away. He went from here to there. Okay? So ذهبَ means he went away from where he was, and خرجَ means he went out of the place that he was in. Please distinguish between ذهبَ and خرجَ. So in this lesson, I'm going to take these two verbs. ذهبَ, he went away, and خرجَ, he went outside of the place that he was in. Note the following point in reference to these two verbs. And this is applicable to all يعني past tense verbs that we're going to be taking in this level 1 course. If we have the sentence, أَيْنَ بِلَالٌ, where is Bilal? We can say in answer to that, ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, he went to the mosque. Remember we said ذَهَبَ means he went, right? ذَهَبَ means he went. He didn't go out, he went from here to there. And from the house to the masjid, for example. We just want to say he went from here to there. ذَهَبَ means he went, right? So ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, he went to the mosque. But what if, instead of saying he went to the mosque, I wanted to say Bilal went to the mosque. So now I'm going to say ذَهَبَ, and I'm going to include the proper noun Bilal as the doer of the action of the verb ذَهَبَ. ذَهَبَ بِلَالٌ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, يعني Bilal went to the mosque. Bilal went to the mosque, okay? Note it says, so ذَهَبَ means he went. But if it is followed by a noun as the subject, in Arabic the subject is called the fa'il, the one that's doing the action of the verb. If it is followed by a noun as the subject, the pronoun he, from ذَهَبَ, he went, the pronoun he is dropped. Instead of saying ذَهَبَ means he went, now we're just going to say, yani if it's followed by a subject, the doer of the action, the fa'il, Bilal, we're going to say Bilal went. He is dropped. We're not going to say, yani, Bilal, he went. We're just going to say, Bilal went. Okay, so what's the point here? The point is that when you have a verb, past tense verb, like ذهبَ, he went, خرجَ, he went out, if it's followed by a noun which is the subject, the فاعل, the one who's doing that action, the pronoun he is not going to be mentioned. We're just going to use the subject that follows it, Bilal, for example. Alright, so this is very important, yani in terms of translation. Yani if there's no subject mentioned, then ذهبَ means he went. خرجَ means he went out. But if there's a subject mentioned, the pronoun he is going to be dropped. Alright, let's turn the page to page 11 and look at the vocabulary. At the top of the page, the first word that's on the first line is min, which means from. If this word, this preposition min, if it is followed by alif lam, the definite article alif lam, it becomes mina. Yani in other words, min is originally mim kasra, noon with sukoon. But when it's followed by alif lam, the noon with sukoon is changed to noon with fatha. Okay, we're going to pronounce it with a fatha. And the reason for this is because the alif lam, definite article, yani has sukoon, and min has sukoon, and you can't have in Arabic two letters with sukoon coming back to back. Yani coming back to back consecutively, two letters with sukoon. So when you have this combination of min, which ends with sukoon, followed by lam with sukoon, the definite article, then in order to eliminate this problem of two letters with sukoon meeting one another, we're going to put the vowel fatha on the noon. We can't put any vowel we want. Sometimes when we have this problem of two letters with sukoon coming back to back, sometimes we're going to add a kasra vowel. Sometimes we're going to add a dhamma vowel. But which vowel we add is already determined by the Arabs. They have determined which vowel we're going to put. We can't just put any one we want. With this particular word, min, we're going to add a fatha. With another word, we might add a kasra or a dhamma, and we'll learn those rules as we come to them. Okay, so the first word in the vocabulary here is min, and it means from. And if it's followed by alif lam, then we're going to add a fatha. So instead of saying min El, we're going to say minel, minel. We're going to join it together like that. Okay. As we're going down the line, I want to read from the right to the left, but I just want to do Elah also right now. So I'm going to take the word Elah, and the min, it has Elah means two. So min means from, Elah means two. I came min from someplace, and I'm going Elah to another place. Okay, let's just go down, straight down the line from the left-hand column this time, okay? The next word, El-Yabanu. El-Yabanu. This is the name of a country, Japan. It has Aleph Lam. Some countries have Aleph Lam, some do not. Pay attention to the countries that have Aleph Lam and those which do not. The next word, Al-Sinu, with Sa'd, and the Sa'd is a sun letter, so it has Shadda. Al-Sinu. Yani, instead of saying Al-Sinu, like we said, El-Yabanu, here the first letter of the word, Sin, is a sun letter. So we're going to, yani, merge the lam into the sun letter. We're going to double the sun letter and pronounce it Al-Sinu. That means the country, China. The next word is also a country, Al-Hindu. Al-Hindu is the country, India. Okay, and then following that is the headmaster or the principal, Al-Mudiru. Yani, if this is in reference to a school, we say it is the headmaster or principal. If it was in reference to a company, for example, Al-Mudir will be the director of the company, or the one who is in charge of the company, who manages the company, manager or director like this. Okay, now we're going to the right-hand column, which we normally start with, and the first word at the top of the column, Al-Filibinu. There's a shadda, there should be a shadda on the ba in the word Al-Filibinu, with a shadda on the ba. Filibinu. And this also has Aleph Lam. It is a country, the Philippines. The next word, Al-Madrasatu. Madrasatu. Al-Madrasatu means school, the school. And I want here to distinguish between another word that looks exactly like it, except the voweling is different, and that is Al-Mudarrisatu. Al-Mudarrisatu, yani, it has a fatha on the dal, unlike madrasa, it has a fatha on the dal, it has a shadda on the ra with kasra instead of fatha, and otherwise it looks, the letters are exactly the same as Al-Madrasatu. Al-Mudarrisatu means a female teacher. Al-Mudarrisatu. Meem with Dhamma. Dal with Fatha. Ra with Shadda and Kasra. Seen with Fatha. Al-Mudarrisatu. I just want you to distinguish, because if you see this word without voweling, Al-Madrasa and Al-Mudarrisa look exactly the same. The only difference is in the voweling. The next word, As-Suqu, means the market. The marketplace, where shops and stores are, where people go shopping. As-suqu. And this word, suq, begins with the letter seen, and seen is a sun letter. Therefore, yani, the lam is merged into the sun letter. The lam is not pronounced. The seen is doubled with shadda. And instead of saying al-suqu, we say as-suqu. The last word in the vocabulary here is al-jami'atu. Al-jami'atu. That means the university. And I want to make one more note before we leave the vocabulary. There are two words in this vocabulary which are distinguished as being feminine words. Does anybody know which two words they are? These two nouns are feminine. And we know that they are feminine because they end with what ending? Ta marbuta. They end with ta marbuta. That is al-madrasatu. This word is feminine. How do we know it's feminine? It ends with ta marbuta. And we just said in the first half of this lesson that generally speaking, feminine nouns end with the round ta, ta marbuta. And this indicates that they are feminine. However, yani, there are exceptions to this rule, meaning that they are feminine nouns that do not have ta marbuta, and there are also some words which have ta marbuta, like some masculine proper nouns, which are not feminine in meaning, though in form they have the feminine ending, like Muawiyah and Usama, and words like this. Okay, so generally speaking, feminine nouns end with termabuta. There are exceptions going both ways. There are two words in this vocabulary that are feminine, clearly from the indication of the termabuta. That is al-madrasatu, the school, and al-jami'atu, the university. Okay, so this is the English key for the second half of lesson 4. What did we take in this lesson? Number 1, two new prepositions, min and ila, from and to. Two more pronouns, ana wa anta, I and you, masculine singular. And then we also had two verbs, kharaja and dhahaba. Kharaja, he went out. Dhahaba, he went away. And we also made a note that when you translate these verbs, like kharaja and dhahaba, or any other verbs that will be taken in the future, if they have a pronoun following them, I mean a noun, a clear noun that is the subject, the fa'il, the doer of the action, then we're not going to translate the pronoun he or she or whatever pronoun comes with it. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to do for the English key, second part of lesson 4. Now, let's go on to the Arabic text. Okay, the Arabic text for the second half of lesson 4 is on page 24. Page 24. Please turn to page 24 of the Arabic text. We're going to read and translate the Arabic text. You should have already done this for homework, but we're going to go through it together just to make sure that everything is clear. If anybody has any questions, then you know, now is the time to pay attention. Hopefully, I will clarify any whatever wasn't clear when you read it by yourself. Okay, at the top of the page 24, yani there's a ba at the top of the page, meaning yani this is the second part, alif ba, second part of lesson 4. This is the Arabic text that contains the new words, vocabulary words, as well as new grammatical points. We'll see in this part of the lesson min and ila, we'll see kharaja and dhahaba, and we'll see yani pronouns like ana and anta, as well as the pronouns that we had before, huwa and hiya. So we'll see yani what's new in this half of the lesson, and we'll also see some of the stuff that we had in the first half of the lesson. Okay, so what is the point of the Arabic text? The point of the Arabic text, and whenever you review a lesson, you need to read the Arabic text after you read the English key and the vocabulary. Because in the Arabic text, when you read it, you're going to do a number of things. One, you're going to yani improve your reading ability, your reading skills, your pronunciation of the words if you read it out loud. Not yani raising your voice, but I mean in an audible voice. You read out loud so you can improve your pronunciation. Number two, reading yani the Arabic text improves your comprehension. The more you read, the better you're going to comprehend and understand what you're reading in Arabic. Number three, it reinforces the new grammatical points that are in this lesson. You're going to find that in the English key, as well as all grammatical points that we may have studied in previous lessons. You're going to also see in the English key sometimes. Likewise, we're going to see the new vocabulary that we had for this lesson, and we're going to see some of the old vocabulary from previous lessons. So when you read the English key, there are a number of benefits. One, you're going to improve your pronunciation if you're reading out loud. Number two, you're going to improve your comprehension. Yani, reading comprehension is improved by reading. The more you read, the more you're going to understand what you read. Number three, we're going to consolidate yani the vocabulary from previous lessons as well as with the new vocabulary. And number four, the grammatical points from previous lessons and the grammatical points for the new lesson. So reading the Arabic text at the beginning of a lesson, and sometimes there's two Arabic texts, yani in the beginning and in the middle if the lesson is divided into two parts, as it is with this lesson. So reading the Arabic text has many benefits. It's really, really important that when you're reviewing a lesson that you read the Arabic text to make sure you remember the vocabulary, make sure you remember the grammatical rules from the present lesson as well as previous lessons, and also to improve your reading skills. If you can read to somebody, that's even better. Even if you can't meet, you can do it over the telephone or by any other means of communication. Okay, at the top of the page, ba, this is the second part, Arabic text for lesson number 4. The first word, al-baytu. Al-baytu means the house. This is the word that we had previously. And then we see the same word used following a preposition, min al-bayti. Min al-bayti. From the house. Now we see that al-baytu, the dhamma, yani that indicates that it's marfu'un in the nominative case. After the preposition, that dhamma becomes kasra, yani indicating that it's in the genitive case or majroor. And remember we said that if the word originally, when it's in the nominative case, has a single dhamma, it's going to change when it becomes majrur, it's going to change to a single kasra. If it has a double dhamma, it's going to become a double kasra. Al-baytu became min al-bayti. Also, I want to note here that the preposition min originally has sukoon, min, noon with sukoon. But because it's followed by alif lam, like I said, we can't have two letters back to back with sukoon. So we're going to add a fatha here. It became min al-bayti. Going across, we have al-masjidu. Al-masjidu, the masjid. And then it's followed by, again, the al-masjid is repeated, but this time following a preposition, ilal masjidi. Ilal masjidi, to the masjid. Again, the note here is what? We see that the noun originally is in the nominative case, indicated by dhamma. But when it's following a preposition, nouns change from the nominative case to the genitive case, and therefore the vowel at the end, which indicates its function in the sentence, changes from dhamma to kasra. Al-masjidu ila al-masjidi. This is a very fundamental grammatical point. It's very important. We're going to be seeing prepositions throughout this course, book 1, book 2, level 3, level 4. It's very important that you comprehend this point of grammar. It's very fundamental. It's relatively simple. You have to keep in mind that nouns originally have dhamma, but they change depending on their function. So if they're following a preposition, they're going to change from dhamma to kasra. If they're the object of a verb, it's going to change to fatha and so on. Okay, let's read the text. This text is between two people, al-mudarrisu, that is the teacher, and Muhammadun, the student. Okay, let's read. Al-mudarrisu says, and again, I'm going to pause a little bit because I just want to remind you, it's been 2 weeks since we had class, so you might not remember that I want you to be reading even during these sessions, even though you read it for homework, and you may have read it several times, hopefully, but I want you to be reading as we're going through it in the class together. Okay, so I'm going to pause a little bit for you to be able to read ahead of me. Okay, the mudarris says what? Min aina anta. Min aina anta. Min means from, aina means where, anta means you or you are. From where you are, literally. From where are you? Where are you from? In English we would say, where are you from? This is how you say it in Arabic. Where are you from? You say, min aina. Min aina anta, where are you from? Min aina huwa, where is he from? Min aina hiya, where is she from? Okay, min aina. Aina means where, it's a question word, ism istifham, and min is a preposition. When they came together, aina means where is something, min aina means where is something from. Muhammad says, ana min al yabani. Ana min al yabani. I am from al-Yaban. Al-Yaban means what? Japan. Min aina anta? Where are you from? Ana min al-Yabani. If somebody said to you, min aina anta? You say, ana min, wherever you're from. Yani, min al-Sudan. Min Amerika. Min Britannia. Wherever you're from. Okay? Min al-Yaban. Min al-Sin, min al-Hind, min Pakistan. Okay, min aina anta. So this is also vocabulary. In these Arabic texts at the beginning of the lessons, there are also dialogues that can be used in conversation when you are speaking to somebody. You can say to them, yani assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And they reply, and you can say to them, yani min anta, or ma ismuka, ma ismuka. And then you can ask them, min aina anta, or they might ask you, yani min aina anta or min aina anti, if it's a female, and so on. Okay, so these dialogues or these Arabic texts at the beginning of the lesson, we should also take these expressions, the vocabulary words individually, and these expressions that can be used in conversation. And this is not a conversation class, but it is beneficial, yani if you begin to use these expressions in general conversations with your classmates or with your associates or your friends or your family, wherever you have an opportunity to speak Arabic, even if you can't hold a whole conversation in Arabic, then yani use whatever words you have. Just start practicing with them, and as you increase your vocabulary and Arabic expressions, then you'll be able to hold a more complete conversation in Arabic until you reach the point where you can speak totally in Arabic, inshallah. Okay, let's go down to the next paragraph. The teacher says, وَمِنْ أَيْنَ عَمَّارٌ, and from where is Ammar? Yani, wow here, because he just asked him, مِنْ أَيْنَ أَنْتَ, and now he's saying, and where's Ammar from? وَمِنْ أَيْنَ عَمَّارٌ. Muhammad says, هُوَ مِنَ الصِّينِ. هُوَ مِنَ الصِّينِ. Yani, Ammar, he is from China. The teacher says, وَمِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. وَمِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. And from where is Hamid? Yani, meaning, where's Hamid from? Muhammad says, هُوَ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ. هُوَ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ. He is from India. Okay, these are three countries we had so far. Al-Yaban, Japan, As-Sin, China, and Al-Hind, India. All of them have Alif Lam. Not all countries have Alif Lam. Next paragraph. Teacher says, Aina Abbasun. Meaning, where is Abbas? Notice the difference between the previous questions. Min Aina Anta, where are you from? Wa min Aina Ammar, where's Ammar from? Wa min Aina Hamidun, where's Hamid from? Now that he didn't say min Aina Abbas, he said Aina Abbas. Okay, so now it's not from where, but Aina here means what? Where is Abbas? Muhammad answers, Kharaja, meaning he went out. He went out, he left the room. Al Mudarris, Aina Zahaba. Where did he go? Yani meaning, where did he go to? He went out, so where did he go? Aina Zahaba. Muhammad, Zahaba ila al-mudiri. Zahaba ila al-mudiri. He went to, ila, he went to al-mudiri. He went where? To the principal, the headmaster, al-mudir. Notice that al-mudir has kasra, and that's because it's following the preposition ila. The teacher says, wa aina dhahaba aliyun. And Ali here should have a shadda on the ya. Okay, Ali is written with a shadda on the ya. Aliyun, with shadda on the ya. Wa aina dhahaba aliyun. Muhammad says, dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. Dhahaba ila al-mirhadi. He went to the toilet. Yani to the bathroom. Al-mirhad literally means the toilet. Okay, notice that al-mirhad also has kasra, and that's because it's following the preposition ila. Okay, after this, we're going to turn to page 25 and look at the first exercise. On the top of page 25, notice it says, Tamarinu. Tamarin means what? And it's the plural of tamrinun. Tamrinun means an exercise, and tamarinu means plural, exercises. Tamarin is a word that is mamnun min as-sarf, yani words, certain category of words that do not take tanween. So that's why it has a single dhamma. Please note the single dhamma. The instruction for the first exercise says, ajib عن الأسئلة الآتية. Ajib means answer. عن, concerning. الأسئلة, الأسئلة is the plural of سؤال, means questions. الآتية, the following. Answer concerning the following questions, or answer the following questions. And again, remember, the instructions for the exercises are part of the lesson. You have to learn the vocabulary words in the instructions. Okay, the first, this is a comprehension exercise, but the first two questions are not from the Arabic text that we just read. The first two questions are not from the Arabic text. The remaining questions, 3, 4, 5, and 6, should be answered from the Arabic text that we just read. The answers should be from the Arabic text that we just read. Okay, so the first two questions are not. The first question, read, من أين أنت or من أين أنت. You have to write the answer. Answer the following question. من أين أنت to the brothers, to the sisters. من أين أنت. Okay, so then you'll say أنا. Men and women will both say أنا من wherever. الهند من اليابان من باكستان من الصين من السودان من مصر من أمريكا من بريطانيا, whichever country you want to answer with. Second question. أأنت من الفلبين؟ أأنت من الفلبين؟ Meaning, أأنت, are you? You remember the Hamza in the beginning of a sentence, in the beginning of an affirmative sentence, turns it into a question. أنت من الفلبين means you are from the Philippines. أأنت means are you من from الفلبيني, from the Philippines. And then you will answer, يعني whatever. نعم أنا من الفلبين, or لا أنا من نيويورك, or أنا من السودان, or أنا من مصر. يعني مصر is Egypt, right? Or whatever. Okay, so the first two questions are not based on a dialogue, but these are just general questions. من أين أنت؟ أنت من الفلبين. Question number three is from the actual text that we just read, okay? So please make a note that the answers should be not just just making up answers, but rather you have to go back and try to remember from the Arabic text what was the correct answer. Question number three, read. Men من الصين. Men means who. Men means from. Who is from الصين? Who is from China? Okay, if we look back to the Arabic text, then we'll see the teacher said in the second paragraph, وَمِنْ أَيْنَ عَمَّار. And Muhammad says, هُوَ مِنَ الصِّين. So the answer to this question, مَنْ مِنَ الصِّين? عَمَّارٌ مِنَ الصِّين. Question number four. مِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. مِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. From where is Hamid? Where is Hamid from? Again, if we go back to the Arabic text on page 24, we see the teacher said, yani in the third paragraph, وَمِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. The very question is there. وَمِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ. And Muhammad said, هُوَ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ. So the answer to question number four, مِنْ أَيْنَ حَامِدٌ, should be حَامِدٌ مِنَ الْهِنْدِ. Hamid is from India. Question number five, أَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَبَّاسٌ. Yani, meaning, where did Abbas go? ذَهَبَ عَبَّاسٌ. Where did Abbas go? Again, if we look back to the Arabic text near the bottom of the page, next to the last paragraph, the teacher says concerning Abbas, أَيْنَ ذَهَبَ. Where did he go? And Muhammad says, ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ. So the answer to question number five, أَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَبَّاسٌ. ذَهَبَ إلى المدير. He went to the headmaster, to the principal. Question number six. أذهب علي إلى المدير. أذهب علي إلى المدير. Did Ali go to the mudir? And this question is the last thing at the bottom of the page, yani, because it's talking about who. Yani, the question is about Ali, and at the bottom of the page we see the teacher saying, وَأَيْنَ ذَهَبَ عَلِيٌ. And Muhammad says, ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمِرْحَادِ. So the question, أَذَهَبَ عَلِيٌ إِلَى الْمُدِيرِ, we have to say no, because in this text we see that when they were asked, where did Ali go? He said, he went to the Mirhad. So, did Ali go to the Mudir? لا. Where did he go? ذَهَبَ إِلَى الْمِرْحَادِ. He went to the toilet, to the bathroom. Okay, let's go to exercise number two, which inshallah everybody has already written the answers for homework. We had 2 weeks to do it. Okay, exercise number two, page 25, the instruction. You should know the meaning of this instruction by now. Iqra, read. Waktub, and write. Ma'a, along with. Dhabti, making exact or precise. Awakhiri, the endings. Al-kalimati, of the words. Read and write, making exact or precise the endings of the words. What is intended here? We want to read these words, make sure we can read them without vowels. And secondly, for this exercise, we have to make sure we pay attention to the last vowel that indicates the function of the word in the sentence. Is it marfu'un with dhamma, or is it majrurun with kasra? Okay, how do we know if it's majrur? If it's following a preposition, it's going to change from being marfu'un with dhamma to mansubun with kasra. Alright, so please read carefully. You should have already written out these words, and you should have been practicing reading them, and you should have determined whether they end with dhamma or kasra. The first word, and you can read ahead of me. First word, al-ghurafatu, yani with sukoon on the ra. Al-ghurafatu, with dhamma, meaning the room. And you should also translate these words, because you have to learn the vocabulary. Second one, minal-ghurafati. Here, yani from the room. The al-ghurfa ends with kasra, because why? It's following a preposition. The noun following a preposition, the object of the preposition is going to change from being marfu'un to majrurun, from dhamma to kasra. Next one. Read. Should be read, minal hammami, with shadda on the meme. Minal hammami, from the bathroom. From the bathroom. And again, al-hammami is the object of the preposition min, so it ends with kasra majrur. Next word. Read. Al-mirhadu. Al-mirhadu, with sukoon on the ra, and kasra for the meme. Al-mirhad means the toilet, and there's nothing changing it, so the original ending is going to be dhamma. Al-mirhadu. Next word. إِلَى الْمِرْحَاضِ, to the toilet. يعني ذهب إلى الْمِرْحَاضِ, he went to the toilet. المرحاض is the object of the preposition إلى, so it ends with كسرة, indicating that it's مجرور. Next line, first word, الْيَابَانُ, meaning the country Japan, ending with dhamma. Next word, الْفِلِبِّينُ, with شَدَّ on the ba. الْفِلِبِّينُ, meaning the country, the Philippines, ending with dhamma, there's nothing changing it. The next word, مِنَ الْهِنْدِ, مِنَ الْهِنْدِ, from India. الْهِنْدِ is مَجْرُور, the sign that it's مَجْرُور is كَسْرَة, and it's مَجْرُور because it's the object of the preposition مِن. And the last expression, إِلَى الصِّينِ, إِلَى الصِّينِ, يعني to China. الصين is the object of the preposition إِلَى, therefore it's مَجْرُور, and the sign that it's مَجْرُور is كَسْرَة. Okay, so this exercise was designed to what? To practice our reading without vowels, and also to make sure we know that words originally have dhamma. They are originally in the nominative case, مَرْفُورٌ, unless something changes it. And in this lesson, what's changing it is the preposition. If it's following a preposition, it changes from dhamma to kasra, from marfu'un to majrur. Next exercise, number 3, is a reading and writing exercise. The next instruction says, iqra' waktub, read and write. Read and write. So you should be reading, and you should also have written it out, and you should be translating the meaning of these words, and making sure that you're paying attention to any grammatical rules like prepositions or any things like this. Okay, so in this lesson we see first line, the first sentence, min aina fatimatu, from where is Fatima? Where is Fatima from? Hiya min al hindi, she is from al hind, from India. She is from India. Okay, what we want to note here is the expression min aina, from where. And we want to note also the pronoun here is referring back to what? Is referring back to Fatima. Fatima is feminine, so we have to use the feminine pronoun, third person feminine singular, Fatima. هي من الهندي. Second sentence. خرج المدرس من الفصل وذهب إلى المدير. The meaning, خرج, he went out. المدرس, the teacher. So do we translate it as the teacher, he went out? Or we leave the pronoun he, because why? The verb, when it's followed by a noun that is its subject, the فاعل, then we don't use the pronoun he or she anymore. So instead of saying he went out, or the teacher, he went out, we're saying the teacher went out. خرج المدرس. Let me just make a note here also, that the subject of the verb, the one that's doing the action of the verb, is going to always be in the nominative case with Dhamma. So we're not going to see خرج المدرسي or خرج المدرسا. It's always going to be خرج المدرسو, خرج الولدو, خرج الطالبو. The فاعل, the do of the action of a verb, is always going to take Dhamma. Okay? خرج المدرسو من الفصل, from the فصل. What is the فصل? Classroom. وذهب, and he went, إلى المدير, to the principal or the headmaster. Next sentence, number 3. ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. Meaning, ذهب, he went, who went? التاجر. The تاجر, the merchant went, إلى, to, الدكان. He went to the shop. Notice that الدكان begins with del. Del is a sun letter. The lamb is merged into it. The del is doubled, so we don't say al-dukkan, we say ad-dukkan. And also this word, dukkan, has shadd on the calf, followed by fatah, elongated by aleph. Ad-dukkani. ذهب التاجر إلى الدكان. The merchant went to the shop. Number 4, last sentence on the bottom of the page. خرج حامد من الغرفة وذهب إلى الحمام. خرج, he went out. حامدون is the subject, and remember the subject. If the subject is mentioned, we're not going to say he when we translate the verb. Instead of saying he went out, we're going to say حامدون went out. حامد went out من الغرفة, from the room. He went out of the room. وذهب, and he went away, إلى الحمام, to the bathroom. Okay, so the purpose of this exercise was yani to practice our reading, to practice our writing, to practice our translation, and to look at prepositions and pronouns and the verbs that we had in this lesson, خرج and ذهب. Okay, so we had several points in this lesson that were new, such as the past tense verbs, and we also had the indications that the noun that follows the preposition is going to be مجرور. So we have من الهندي, من الفصل, إلى الدكان, من الغرفة, إلى الحمام. All of these words, when they follow a preposition, change from being مرفوع with ضمة to مجرور with كسرة. Okay, let's go to page 26. Moving right along. And I hope that when you did these exercises for homework, inshallah, I hope that you did them well, that you got them correct, at least most of them, if not all. Okay, page 26, sentence number 5. We're still in exercise number 3, but sentence number 5, read. من خرج من الفصل. This word could either, the first word could be read as men or min, but min here doesn't make any sense. So we know that it's men. And both of these words, min and men, look the same. They both have meem and noon with sukoon. But one of them has meem with fatah, men, which means who. And remember we had men hadha and ma hadha. Men means who. And min mean is a preposition, it means from. Okay, so men kharaja, who went out, min al fasli, from the classroom. You don't have to answer this question. This is a reading and writing exercise. Number 6. خرج الطالب من المدرسة وذهب إلى السوق. خرج الطالب. خرج الطالب. The student went out. من المدرسة. From the school. وذهب. And he went away. إلى السوق. To the marketplace. Again, what I want to note in this sentence. خرج الطالب. الطالب is the subject of the verb. The فاعل. The one doing the action. Who went out? الطالب. The subject of the verb. The فاعل it always is in the nominative case. مرفوعٌ with dhamma. المدرستي is following a preposition, so it takes كسرة. السوقي is following a preposition, so it takes كسرة. طيب, sentence number 7. خديجة من الصين وخالد من الياباني. Translation, خديجة is من الصين, from China, and Khalid is min al-Yabani, from Japan. What I want to note here is a number of things. The first one, Khadijatu, feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. Khalidun, masculine proper nouns do take tanween. Asini is following the preposition min, so it takes kasra. Al-Yabani is following the preposition min, so it takes kasra. Okay, next exercise. Next exercise, the instruction says, ضَعَ. Yani should be a sukoon on the ayn. ضَعَ. This is a fi'l amr, a command, imperative form verb. ضَعَ means put. Fi in al-faraghi. The empty spaces. Fi ma in what? Yali follows. Harfa, a particle. Jarrin, a particle of jar, yani a preposition. Harfa jar means a preposition. Munasaban, that is suitable or appropriate. Yani ضَعَ فِي الْفَرَاغِ, put in the empty spaces or the blanks. Fi مَا يَلِي, in what follows. Harfa jarrin, a preposition that is munasaban, that is appropriate or suitable, that makes sense there. Okay? These also, the words in the instructions you must learn. Notice that al-faraghi has kasra because it's following the preposition. Naam. Okay. The prepositions that they gave you here are the four prepositions that we had in this lesson. Min wa ila, from and to. Fi wa ala, in and upon. You have to choose one of those prepositions for each of these sentences and put it in the blank space where it makes sense. First sentence, I hope you have written the correct preposition. It should be ala. Al-kitabu, the book is on the maktab. Ala al-maktabi. Al-kitabu ala al-maktabi. The book is on the table or the desk. Al-kitabu has dhamma because there's nothing changing it. Al-Maktabi has kasra because it's following a preposition. Second sentence. At-Talibu fil-fasli should be fi fil-fasli. At-Talibu, the student, is fi in al-fasli, the classroom. At-Talibu, yani has dhamma. It's the mubtada, the subject of the sentence. And the mubtada always takes dhamma. Fasl is following a preposition, so it takes kasra. Sentence number 3. Zahaba Hamidun ilal jami'ati. Hamidun is the subject of the sentence. Remember the subject, the fa'il, the one who's doing the action of the verb, always takes dhamma. It's marfu'un with dhamma. Since it's a proper masculine proper noun, it takes tanween, so it has double dhamma. Hamidun, what did he do? Zahaba, he went ila. The preposition here should be ila. Hamid went to al-jami'ati, the university. Al-jami'ati is the object of the preposition ila, so it takes kasra and it's majrur. Number 4. Kharaja al-mudiru min al-madrasati. Kharaja al-mudiru min al-madrasati. Yani al-mudiru is the fa'il, the subject, the doer of the action of the verb. Who went out? Al-mudiru. Remember, the subject, the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb, is always marfu'un with dhamma. خرج المدير. The mudir went out. Min from al-madrasati, the school. Notice that min originally has sukun, but when it's followed by alif lam, we're going to add a fatha. Min al-madrasati. And madrasati is the object of the preposition min, so it takes kasra. Sentence number 5. Dhahaba Muhammadun ila al-sini min al-yabani. Two prepositions, two blank spaces. Dhahaba Muhammadun. Again, Muhammad is the fa'il, the subject, doer of the action of the verb dhahaba. So it's always going to be marfu'un with dhamma. It's a proper noun. Masculine proper nouns take tanween. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. So there should be dhammatan, two dhammas on this word, Muhammadun. Dhahaba Muhammadun. Muhammad went ila sini, to China. Min al-yabani, from Japan. Okay, let's look at the al-kalimat al-jadida on the bottom half of the page 26. Al-kalimatu al-jadidatu. Kalimat is the plural of kalima, word, and al-jadida is the feminine form of the word jadid, which means new. Al-kalimat al-jadidatu, yani the new words for this lesson. The first word, going from right to left, going across the first line, read ahead of me and translate. The first word, al-madrasatu, meaning the school. Al-faslu, meaning the classroom. Al-hammamu, with shadda on the meme, meaning the bathroom. Al-mirhadu, meaning the toilet. Second line from right to left. Al-matbakhu, meaning the kitchen. Al-ghurfatu, meaning the room. Al-jami'atu, meaning the university. Al-suqu, meaning the marketplace. Al-yabanu, meaning Japan. Al-sinu, meaning China. Al-hindu, meaning India. Al-filibinu, with shadda on the ba, meaning the Philippines. The last line, from right to left, al-mudiru, the headmaster or principal or director or manager. Dhahaba, he went, like he went away. Kharaja, he went out. Okay, what I want to note here is that there are some words in this group that are clearly feminine words. And how do we know that? Because they end with ta marbuta. From amongst them, in the first line, al-madrasatu, feminine. In the second line, al-ghurfatu, is feminine. And after it, al-jami'atu, is feminine. Remember we said that the indication of a word being feminine is generally that it ends with tarmabuta. However, there are words that are feminine that do not end with tarmabuta, and there are some words like masculine proper nouns that end with tarmabuta, which in meaning are not feminine. Alright, so we just want to make that note and remind us of that. I want to note also that some of these words I think we had before, like al-matbakh and al-ghurfa. Anyway, no problem. But anyway, these are the words for this lesson. The end of this lesson is the box at the bottom. Sometimes there's a box at the end of the lesson or in the middle of the lesson which summarizes the grammatical points for that lesson. Here, in this, what we have is fi, these words fi, wa'ala, min, and ila. All of these are called, yani, prepositions. In Arabic, harf jar, yani, collectively say that these four words are min, from amongst, حروف, the particles of al-jarri. They are from amongst the particles of jar, meaning they are from amongst the prepositions, meaning that there are other prepositions, and these are some of them. Okay, this is the end of lesson 4. Walhamdulillah, yani this is a very important lesson. It contains mainly prepositions and pronouns, some new words like past tense verbs, dhahaba and kharaja, and also some other yani matters that we have discussed in this lesson, which are all of great importance. I hope that we yani constantly review our lessons so that we don't forget these points that we are learning from one lesson to the next. Okay, after this, we want to just take the few minutes that's remaining and look at the new lesson, the English key and the vocabulary for the new lesson. Very, very important lesson, lesson number 5. Please turn to the English key on page 12 and 13. And the vocabulary is on page 14. If we don't get to the vocabulary, please, yani for homework, this is going to be part of your homework, to preview what we are covering right now for lesson number 5, to read it carefully, the English key, and start memorizing the vocabulary, as well as all the time for homework, even if I don't mention it. For homework, you always must always yani review the previous lessons, especially the English key, review the vocabulary, and review the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. Okay, page 12, English key, lesson 5. In this lesson, we learn the following. Okay, actually, there are 4 points of grammar in this lesson, and we're going to try to cover them now. The first point is usually the most important point. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number 1. And by the way, this first point, there are 6 exercises. Of the 10 exercises in lesson 5, 6 of them are related to point number 1. That shows you its importance. There are other, yani 3 points, there are only 4 exercises related to them. All the rest of the exercises in this lesson are going to be related to this first point. Point number 1, Bilal's book in Arabic is Kitabu Bilalin. Kitabu Bilalin. This literally means the book of Bilal or Bilal's book. This is the first example. The second example, Baytu al-Imami. Baytu al-Imami. The Imam's house. Literally means the house of the Imam or the Imam's house. Let me just note here that these 2 examples, the difference between them is that in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin, the second word has tanween. And in the second example, Baytu al-Imami, the second word has alif lam. So this kind of construction that we're going to study here, it's possible that the second word can have tanween, as in Kitabu Bilalin, or can have a single vowel, as in Baytu al-Imami. And we're going to discuss that in detail, but I just want you to note that the second word of this type of construction can either take tanween or can take a single vowel if that word has alif lam. Okay, in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin, the first word is the thing possessed. Yani the first word, Kitabu Bilalin, the book of Bilal. The first word is the thing possessed. In Arabic, it is called Mudafun. Mudafun. The second word, Bilalin, is the possessor. Kitabu, the first word is the thing possessed, and the second word, Bilal, is the one that possesses it. The book of Bilal, Bilal's book. The second word, the possessor, is called in Arabic, Mudafun ilayhi. These are 2 expressions you have to learn for this lesson. Mudafun and Mudafun ilayhi. The first word, the thing possessed, is called the Mudaf. And the second word, the one that is the possessor, is called the Mudafun ilayhi. We'll have more details about this as we go along. Note. Okay, there are 2 notes here. A, B, C, and D. 4 notes. In reference to this first point, there are 4 notes. A, B, C, and D. The first note, A. Note that the mudaf takes neither the definite nor indefinite article. Yani in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin, Kitab doesn't have alif lam or tanween. And in the second example, Baytu al-Imami, the first word Bayt, doesn't have alif lam or tanween. So this is the first note. The mudaf, the first part of this type of construction, takes neither the definite nor indefinite article. It doesn't take alif lam, it doesn't take tanween. So it is wrong to say kitabun bilalin, because kitabun is the first word, the mudaf, it never takes alif lam or tanween. Likewise, it's wrong to say al-kitabu bilalin, because al-kitab, yani the first word of this type of construction, never takes alif lam. It never takes tanween. So saying kitabun or saying al-kitabu are both wrong. Generally, nouns in Arabic take either alif lam or tanween, but this is a special type of construction. And in this type of construction, the first word, which is known as the muvaf, the thing that's possessed, it never takes Aleph, Lam, or Tanween. Okay? So, they're saying now after this that it's wrong to say Kitabun Bilalin, and it's wrong to say Al-Kitabu Bilalin. They're saying the Muvaf, the first part of this type of construction, is definite by position and does not need the definite article. And we will add to that, it could be indefinite by position and therefore doesn't need the indefinite article. It doesn't need Aleph, Lam, or Tanween because it becomes definite or indefinite by its position, by its relation to the word that's following it. So the word that's following it, if that word is definite, then the first word becomes definite without Aleph, Lam. And if the word that's following it, the Mudhafun Ilayhi, is indefinite, then the first word becomes indefinite, yani by position, by its relation to the second words. Okay, so the first word, the Mudhaf, never takes Aleph, Lam, or Tanween. How do we determine if it's definite or indefinite? We look at the second word. If the second word is definite, then the Mudhaf becomes definite. If the second word is indefinite, then the Mudhaf becomes indefinite. Be careful here, though. Note that in the first example, Kitabu Bilalin, the second word has Tanween, but it's not indefinite, because Bilal is a masculine proper noun, and proper nouns are all definite. So even though it has Tanween, it's not indefinite. Therefore, yani the first word is going to be definite, because Bilal, even though it has Tanween, it's definite. So Kitab becomes definite, because the second word is definite. Okay, that's the first note. The Mudhaf doesn't take Aleph, Lam, or Tanween. Rather, it becomes definite or indefinite by position, by its relation to the word following it, either being definite or indefinite. Note B, the Mudhaf ilayhi is in the genitive case. The second word of this type of construction, the second word in this case, yani Kitabu Bilalin or Baytu Al-Imami, the second word, Bilalin and Al-Imami, is always going to be in the genitive case. It's going to be majrur. It can have tanween, as in the first example, yani Kitabu Bilalin, or it can have Aleph Lam, as in the second example, Baytu Al-Imami. Okay, so the second note here is that the Mudhaf Ilayhi, the second part of this construction, is always genitive. So that means it's going to take Kesra. But it can have a double Kesra Tanween, or it can have a single Kesra because it has Aleph Lam. If it has Aleph Lam, it's going to take a single Kesra. If it doesn't have Aleph Lam, then it's going to have Tanween. But the point is, the second word is always going to be in the genitive case. It's going to be Majrur, and it's always going to take Kesra, single Kesra or double Kesra. How do we know when it's going to have single or double Kesra? It's always going to be Kesra. But how do we know, is it a single Kesra or a double Kesra? If the word has Aleph Lam, it's going to take a single Kesra. If it doesn't have Aleph Lam, then it's going to take a double Kesra. Okay, so Baytu Bilalin, yani the house of Bilal or Bilal's house, yani the second word is Majrur, always. Here it has a double Kesra because it doesn't have Aleph Lam. Baytu Al-Imami, the house of the Imam, Al-Imam is Majrur. The second part of this construction is always going to be Majrur, and it's going to take, here it takes a single Kesra because it already has Aleph Lam. And we can't have Aleph Lam and Tanween on one word at the same time. The third note, Kitabu Men. C, it says Kitabu Men. Whose book? Literally, the book of who? Whose book is this? Note that Men is not in the genitive case, meaning it's not taking Kesra, because it is indeclinable. That is, yani it does not change to indicate its function. Yani there are certain words in the Arabic language which are indeclinable. The vowel at the end doesn't change to indicate its function. Okay? These are words that indeclinable nouns in Arabic, the ending remains unchanged. We call them mabniyun, meaning the endings are fixed. Okay, then it's in the position as the second part of this construction, it's in the position where it should be majrur, but it's not going to take a kesra vowel because this is a type of word that is indeclinable. It's mabaniyun. It doesn't change its vowel to indicate its function. The fourth point, or the D note, it says, ala maktabil mudarrisi. Note that maktab is in the genitive case because of the preposition ala maktabi. And al-mudarris, al-mudarrisi is in the genitive case because it is mudhafun ilayh. So what we are noting here is that a word may be in the genitive case for one of two reasons. Either it's following a preposition, as in ala al-maktabi, or it's the second part of this construct phrase, as in maktab al-mudarrisi, yani the desk or the table of the teacher. So there are two reasons why a word can be majrur with kasra, and that is either it's following a preposition or it's the second part of this type of construction, which is called the construct phrase or al-idhafa. A construct phrase or al-idhafa. To summarize, the first point is related to this construction of two words when they come together. The first part is the thing possessed, it's called the mudhaf. The second part is the possessor, is called mudhafun ilayhi. The mudhaf, the first part, never takes alif lam or tanween. Rather, it is definite or indefinite by position, by looking at the next word. The mudhaf ilayhi, the second part, is always in the genitive case. It can take tanween, a double kasra, or it can take a single kasra if it has alif lam. Okay, that's it. What remains after this? There are three more points, and actually we'll finish our time. So somebody please remind me next week to come back and start with these points. The second point on page 13 is the word tahta. This is a dharf, yani an adverb of place, dharf al-makan. It's always in a construct phrase. It's always in that type of construction that we just got finished talking about, meaning the word following it is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majroor. The next point is ya, that is ya and nida, the vocative particle. When you're calling somebody, oh so-and-so, the noun following ya only has a one dhamma, a single dhamma. If that word originally had tanween, after ya it's going to take a single dhamma. And the fourth point is that words like ismun and ibnun commence with hamzatul wasl, meaning those words originally begin with sukoon, ba with sukoon, seen with sukoon. The kasra that's added to it is added for pronunciation. But when these words that have this extra kasra added for pronunciation, when they are preceded by another word, the kasra is dropped. Okay, we're going to go back to these three points, number 2, 3, and 4 on page 13, in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I hope somebody will remind me of that. All right, okay, we're going to stop here. Next week, inshallah, we'll go back to this English key for lesson number 5. We'll complete points 2, 3, and 4, yani in some detail. And then we're going to look at the vocabulary on page 14. And then we're going to go into the Arabic text for lesson number 5. For homework, inshallah, this is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be reviewing everything that we've taken up until now, first four lessons. And then we're going to be previewing lesson number 5. Well, we already started doing lesson number 5. So review the first point, first grammatical point, in the English key for lesson number 5, and preview points 2, 3, and 4, and preview the vocabulary for lesson number 5, and preview the Arabic text for lesson number 5, meaning read it, write it, and translate it, and look at the grammatical points and the vocabulary words. And the first exercise is a comprehension exercise. So please also try it. When you read the Arabic text several times, try to answer the questions. Those are comprehension questions. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.